At this time, we're ready for the big event. You know, this isn't world wrestling or whatever it is, you know. We got no guns up here or swords or anything else. But it is going to be a debate, and I hope a lively debate. We like lively debates. And we've got a couple of excellent specimens up here, if I can use that term, of young men who love God and have a passion for the things of God. And I think that's terrific. Brent is located here in North Seattle, right? He's an adjunct professor at Northwest University. I received a BA from Northwest University and an MA from Fuller. Is currently pursuing a PhD in theology from the University of Wales in the United Kingdom. And he and his wife, Heather, live here in the Northwest. And where's Heather? Okay, yeah, Heather is, they're working on expanding their family here, so that's
fruitful and multiply, huh?
Yeah, right, he's obeying God on that. And then here we have a gentleman you've heard of from quite a bit here already, Sean Finnegan. And Sean is from New York State, and he's an associate pastor with his father of a Living Hope Community Church. We've been there, a wonderful church, a real friendly, open, dynamic church group. And he has a degree in engineering, which I don't know, do you use any of that in this debate or not?
I don't know about this debate. Just the logic, maybe.
And also... he's attended the Atlanta Bible College and been a researcher in Socinian Christology. And he and his wife, Ruth, charming wife, Ruth, I'm really disappointed he didn't bring her along, but they have two lovely little children, and I guess somebody's got to watch them. So we're pleased to have both of them here, passionately representing a viewpoint, both loving their God and we do too, so we're here to live and to learn. And the story of any successful young man or young woman can usually be understood better in the context of their parents. And so we don't have your parents here, but I know his parents, and they're marvelous people. And your parents are here, and here's your mother in the front row, cheering her son on. So you be careful. If you treat him poorly, she's coming after you. You know how that goes. And, you know, we got a lot of these Bosermans around. You've heard them. We don't have Tony. He's down in California. But they're just energetic people. And then your grandmother is here. And she's back there. And then, of course, there she is, yeah. And she's proud of all the children that have been part of her family. And they all have a real heart for God. And then, of course, your father. And your father knows you probably as well or better than anybody, except maybe Heather. I don't know about that. But he's going to say a few words why this topic's important and introduce you, and then we'll begin our debate. So why don't you come forth, Tom Bosserman.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank Eddie for that nutrition message, because I'm Taco Bell free for 1 year.
There you go.
I haven't visited Taco Bell in 1 year, so
there we go.
I'm living better, I guess, that way. Dining better, anyway. We didn't want to pile up on Sean, you know, and have it be 2-1 here. So when we were asked about this debate, Brant and I discussed it, and Brant would do the debate, and I would just kind of set the tone for the debate and talk about why it's important and why it matters. So let me start off with a little illustration. I had a friend named Andy, and when I was a teenager, I used to call him on the phone. But it used to bug me, because every time I called him on the phone, he answered this certain way. And I finally had to stop calling him, because it bugged me so much. But I would dial the phone number, and it would ring, and then I would hear him answer. He'd always say this: "Heaven, God speaking." And the first time I heard it, I thought, the audacity. This kid is demented. I mean, how could anybody answer the phone that way? Does he really understand what he's saying? And yet, he was just Andy. You know, that's just the way Andy was. But Andy knew he wasn't God. And I certainly knew he wasn't God. So I guess we can all agree that Andy was mocking God in that sense. Well, in this greatest of debates, there is no debate that the Father is God, right? Nobody will debate that. So, to the debaters here, you guys need to deal with who Jesus is. And Sean and Brant need to show from the Scriptures why Jesus is called God, since both of them acknowledge that Jesus is called God. In fact, Sean's paper is entitled, Jesus is God. Okay? So, both debaters need to show whether it is honoring God the Father to honor the Son as God, or whether honoring the Son as God is, in fact, a mockery. Each one of them can show that. Second, consider Jesus. That's a famous radio show in the Seattle area. They got their name from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, consider Jesus, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. How much more glory, you think? The rest of the verse says, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. Verse 4 says, for every house is built by someone, and the writer of Hebrews wants us to know that houses don't get built by themselves. And Moses didn't get made himself by himself. Someone made him. But the rest of the verse says, but the builder of all things is God. So the debaters here need to show, need to deal with John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1, and explain how Jesus can be the maker and sustainer of all things and still not be the true God, the living God. Now, if anybody here has a Bible, just kidding, you can turn to one verse. I'm just going to turn to one verse. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. Two verses here. And I'll read them. I'm reading out of the NASB. That's my favorite. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Now, my Mormon friends tell me that Jesus was Lucifer's brother, to which I always say, how can he be his brother when Jesus was his creator? For Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord, praise him all his angels, for he commanded and they were created. So the debaters here need to show and honor Jesus as the creator or not the creator. That's the second thing. And third and finally, both debaters need to answer this question. How was Jesus worthy, a worthy sacrifice for our sins? How was he a worthy sacrifice? Since Mark 10:18 quotes Jesus as saying, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Then the debaters need to answer this. Was Jesus a 90% unblemished lamb? Was Jesus 90% righteous when he died for the unrighteous? And since he was only 90% righteous, did he only die for 90% of the unrighteous? Or just tell us how good Jesus was. Was he God good, quote, 100% good? Or was he only 99.9% good, just not 100%? If either one of these gentlemen will say Jesus is 100% good, then tell us how Jesus got so perfect. Tell us that. And I will conclude with this. In our men's Bible study, we're going through John Piper's book called Don't Waste Your Life. Don't Waste Your Life. And in it, he says, if you live your life honoring Jesus as God, the eternal Son, then you know God and have eternal life. But if you dishonor the Father by reducing his Son to a mere man, you waste your life. John Piper's opinion. The longest living apostle wrote, and I quote John 5:23, in order that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So that's the bottom line, debater. Show us from the Scriptures if we are to honor Jesus as my Lord and my God, or show us from the Scriptures how it is honoring God the Father by reducing Jesus to a mere man. And let the debate begin.